Okay, so with that said, last Sabbath we touched on a little bit about Revelations chapter 6 about the seals. Okay, so we read them, and I'll read them again. Verse 1 through verse 4, and just give a brief summary of each one. So it says, "Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, 'Come!' And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, 'Come!' And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that men should slay one another, and he was given a great sword." Verse 5. "And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come!' And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine.' And he opened the fourth seal. I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, 'Come!' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with pestilence and wild beast of the earth." Amen. So here's, I'm going to go through this. Here's my summary. I want to try to my best to stick to this. So the book of Revelation shows that seals 1 through 4 give a macro or a high level or snapshot of the operation and outcome of worldly governments as controlled by Elohim, and specifically his son. While seals 5 and 6 show a macro description of what Elohim is and will do for his martyred and living servants. Again, what Elohim is at that time, at the time of John, what he was doing and will continue to do for his servants, those who die and those who live. So let's look at seals 1 through 6 a little closer. So seal number one, as found in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it reveals a white horse and a crown rider with a bow going to conquer and conquering. When I first did this, read this some years ago, I used to think it was probably representative of evil governments. I wasn't sure. But after honestly reading Irenaeus's understanding, I saw that definitely Irenaeus' understanding made more sense than what I thought. So it depicts, rather than evil government, it depicts righteousness spreading over an evil world, over evil worldly governments and their dominion throughout the world. And I agree with Irenaeus because the verse says, "And its rider had a bow." The rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. And we know, in the letters of the seven to the seven congregations, where Messiah would say, "You will conquer, even as I have conquered," paraphrasing what he said. So I used to think of the word conquering like one who's doing harm, but this is conquering in the way of love. It's the ways of Messiah that is spreading throughout all the earth, changing entire nations, changing evil governments into more civil ones, many people becoming saved and so on. That's what's going on here. Because it says the crown was given to him. And authority comes, and the authority comes from above. So this is not a demonic authority, but rather it's the ways of Messiah spreading, the good ways of Messiah, the message of Messiah, the lifestyle of Messiah spreading throughout all the earth. That's what that white horse and its crown rider represents. And that's what Irenaeus taught. When I get the sources, as I said, I will give more details about these things as need be. Now, number 2, 3, and 4, I couldn't find really any specific, but what I did read secondhand, I didn't read it from the sources themselves, reviewed essays about these, what the fathers in general believe, they tend to agree with what I say here regarding seal 2 through 4. So in Revelation chapter 6, 3, and 4, seal 2 reveals a fiery red horse causing strife and war throughout the world. One effect of worldly governments is senseless strife and unjust destructive war. Okay? And sometimes that happens when the darkness is being affected by more light. There, it causes an upheaval. It causes contention. Even in a righteous person's home, sometimes there's division because of the righteousness. Not that the righteousness causes the division, but that the unrighteous divides itself from unrighteousness. The righteous is always welcoming to all, but the unrighteous hate the light, hate the righteous, and shun away from it. So here, this manifests even worldwide that there, and so we see this fiery horse causing strife, and its rider causing strife and war throughout all the world, destructive and unjust war. In seal 3, found in Revelations 6, 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6, it reveals a black horse and a rider with a pair of scales causing the rationing of the earth's resources. Worldly governments mismanage and unfairly handle the world's economy and resources, which causes dire economic problems, poverty, and famine all over the world. There were differences of opinions about this. Various, some of them felt this was an effect on righteousness, where the economy of righteousness, so to say, not literal righteous, but the economy of righteousness is being affected by the unjust as worldly religious and government systems start infiltrating the right in righteousness. But overall, all understood it was the effect of the mismanagement of the world, of its economy. Okay. And so it causes economic problems, poverty, famine all over the world. And even in our United States, we see that happen. Depending on who's governing, depending on how society is, we have good times or bad times. When you look at the history of the Dust Bowl, it was a lot of mismanagement there, which was preceded by a lot of worldliness. In the time of the 1920s, a lot of worldliness started to settle in, evil. And with that comes apostasy. And with the apostasy, the lack of fear of Elohim, comes all these problems, poverty and famine all over the world. Seal 4 reveals a pale, or as the green, or a greenish colored horse whose riders are death and Hades, consuming 1/4 of the earth's inhabitants. This is the culmination of sinful government of self and of the nations. One thing that I've read from concerning what the ancient elders believed is that these things were things that happened throughout, that would happen in order, like in subsequent orders, not something happening all at once. They're happening at one, in subsequent order. First the white horse, then the red horse, then the black horse, then the greenish horse or the pale green horse. That's what they believe. And you could see that as I was rereading it, like verses 1 in the book, verses 1 through 8, he keeps saying, he says, come. He says, let's look at verse 6. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a loud voice like thunder, come. I used to think that he is calling John, that this was a him being called to see, come. But no, he's calling the horses. He's calling the horses and their rider. So the command is as given by Messiah for these things to happen. So, or to be manifest. Because he's already in the heavens. He's seated at the right, recently seated at the right hand of the Father. Not too long have been resurrected from the dead. And he's making these things. He's saying, my gospel will spread throughout all the earth. Just like he says, the gospel will be preached throughout all the earth. There will be persecution. So you can see this matches. So every time the word come, like in verse 1, it says come, that coming is the call to the rider and the horse. In verse 3, you hear come, and this time it's by the second living creature, come. It's the call to the rider of the red horse to come, and so on. And so these things are happening in order. And even naturally, like if you look through historically, like you can see this happens in the start and end of governments, even before Messiah came. But especially since Messiah has come, the world has changed so much because of his gospel. Even those who claim to be atheistic are living by things that were established by Messiah. So that's what's going on here with these. And let's see. So this seal four, death. These and destructions are things that happen towards the end of every government. But especially now that Messiah is reigning, that he causes these things to happen. And he causes these things to happen depending on the nature of that society. If the society is righteous, they'll tend to be longer. If there are possibilities for more righteousness to flourish from time to time, because Elohim knows the end from the beginning, he knows which will bear fruit and how much fruit, and he knows which will bear less fruit. So he knows how long to allow them to exist. He knows how long to permit them to exist. So this is what I want to share as far as up to the fourth seal. Now, Seal 5, which is found in Revelation 6, 9 through 11, shows the souls of the saints. As a matter of fact, let's read that because I didn't read that portion. I'll read that portion and stop there. So verse 9 of chapter 6 says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who have been slain for the word of Elohim and for the witness they had borne. Now, which altar? The altar that was shown before in the imagery mentioned aforetime, the altar. And they were slain for the word of Elohim and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign, eternal, holy, and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. So here, what I understood from these, and this is still my present understanding until I read what the ancient bishop said, but it shows the souls of the saints, the life of the saints that were slain, asking when they will be given justice for all the evils they suffered. In response, the Almighty, again through the Savior, through Yeshua, gives them white robes, assuring them that he will avenge them at the end of the martyrdom. So per Revelation 19 verse 8, the white robes are the righteousness of the saints. In brief, he is communicating with them. He gives them their righteousness and tells them to return to their rest until the martyrdom is ended. This seems to be a preparation for them for the resurrection. Not necessarily that they're about to be resurrected immediately, but that they were being prepared, set, given they were given something spiritually. Something was done for them spiritually that was not yet done, even though they were dead. So this gives us a little insight about when people die. I'm digressing here a little bit. Some of the things that happen, that things don't just happen instantly, that sometime it takes time, that Elohim does everything in his time. So when a person dies, we know sources tells us, even in the book of Luke, tells us about the account of Lazarus. When Lazarus died, his spirit didn't just go up, but no, he was accompanied, the angels accompanied him. And other sources, ancient sources, teach the same thing, that when a person dies, they don't just go on their own. No, the angels accompany them depending on where it is they need to go. The righteous are accompanied to one area, the holy to one area, and the wicked to another area. Okay, that we won't go into, but so things happen when a person dies. Wonderful, especially for the holy, but even the righteous will have their part in the second resurrection and enter the kingdom by partaking of the river of life and of the fruit and leaves of the trees of life by the sides of the river, as found later on in the book of Revelation. Special things are done for them by the ministering angels. And we need to give thanks to Elohim for that. Those of us, you know, like when my father passed away some 4 years ago, I had to remind, these were really comforting, knowing that my father suffered in this life as he did, my human father, but Elohim does not chastise twice. You understand, my father, he suffered a lot before leaving this world. So I'm trusting by Elohim's mercy that he will enter the kingdom, if not in the first resurrection, in the second resurrection, but that even now, that Elohim's will is being done for him right now. So I comfort myself when I understand these types of. So we see here this interaction of saints who have died. They were martyred, suffered evils and injustice for the sake of righteousness. And Elohim comforted them. He was able to communicate. Yes, the dead know nothing in regards to what's happening on the surface of the earth, just like we don't know what's going on among the dead. But Elohim can speak with them. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And he does, when as necessary as was here. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the fathers have to say about this. But again, to summarize, to end here, is that what they all agree to in one, for one reason or another, whether it was for earthly or spiritual reasons, these things happen in subsequent order. It's not something that happened all at once. So that's what I've seen so far. So I'm going to stop here, and I want to, and if anyone wants to add to it, even if you think that what you're saying doesn't necessarily agree with what I'm saying, it's okay. I don't know everything. Maybe what you might add may add a little light to it. And if it's wrong, don't worry about it, because it's the love of truth that matters. It's Elohim will teach us his truth as we go on. So thank you for listening.